Okay, let's pray. Our God, Father, we thank you. We have such a wonderful Savior
Yes.
and many virtues we see in him, whose name is called Wonderful. And we ask you to help us to really consider, to behold the glory of the Lord, so that
Yes.
we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. So we ask that each one of us may receive from your spirit what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I was only going to consider the Lord Jesus as the branch from one particular verse, but I just had to see how, well, what's the distinction? What's different about this verse from all the others called the branch? So anyway, first of all, I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall be fruitful. And the spirit of Jehovah shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. And his delight will be in the fear of Jehovah, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the right and righteousness shall be the girdle of his reins, faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatted beast together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the she-bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play in the hole of the adder, and the weaned child shall put forth his hand to the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Jehovah, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day shall there be a root of Jesse standing as a banner of the peoples. The nations shall seek it, and his resting place shall be glory. We see connected with this branch, the word is netzer, netzer. It's not the same as nezer, the nezer crown of Samson's long hair, or the high priest crown on his head, or the kings of Israel and Judah, their crown, which separated them to be distinct leaders of God's people. But that's not the same word as this. This is netzer, and it signifies a branch. And you notice it's part of a plant, the stock or scion of Jesse. The branch out of his root shall be fruitful, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And so we see the seven spirits of Jehovah connected with him. The spirit of Jehovah shall rest on him, and it's there's seven aspects: the spirit of Jehovah personally, and then we have six other branches. This is the word that to be called the Nazarene or Nazarene. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, yes, he grew up there, but he really was born in Bethlehem of the city of David. And this was kind of an obstacle some of the Jews couldn't get over. Well, we thought the king was to come from Bethlehem, but we know he's from Galilee, Nazareth. Who's this? So it suggests one aspect, he's the rejected one. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Was Nathaniel's thought. Now, boy, his mind got changed really quickly. And it's a wonderful view he had of the Lord even before he recognized him personally as who he was. But we see here that he brings in the millennium, the groaning creation will be set free from the bondage of corruption during his reign here. And we see what are now violent animals feeding with sheep, and it's safe for a child to play at the hole of the adder. And but I think, and this is the only place that refers to him as the Netzer, the only place. And I think it links with him as the son of David, a branch. Now we're going to look at the other word translated branch, but it's more the idea of a sprout out of the ground, which might speak of him as the son of man, born of woman. But here it seems to be in connection with the royal tribe of Judah. And I don't think David is mentioned by name here, but he is from the stock of Jesse. But this is not the only time Netzer is used. And we read here that he shall smite the earth with the rod of his, this is verse 4. Smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wickedness, the wicked. Well, let's turn over, and I think we'll get a view of the wicked. And there's one personally, and he's called a branch. And it's talking about the king of Babylon and Lucifer, and he's cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. Says out of thy out of
Where?
Oh, this is it. I'm sorry. My wife is asking me where are you reading? Isaiah chapter 14. Chapter 13 introduces us to the Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms. That was 13, 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, and so forth. But here is the, I think, has to do with the instigator, this abominable branch. He's from just the stock of sinful man, and he's the cultivated man of Satan, you might say, an abominable branch to God. And his reign has to do with an abomination of desolation set up there in Jerusalem. But he's called a branch, Netzer. But he's the wicked one. Now, remember when I read about the branch in chapter 11, it says that a branch out of his root shall be fruitful. This branch is going to be fruitful. And though it's not, it's a little out of order, I'm going to go to directly to Isaiah 60. Now, let's probably start at verse 20. Maybe I have to give a little background. Israel was in such a condition that Israel could not lift themselves up by their own bootstraps. They were in a hopelessly bad state. And as described in chapter 58 and 59, chapter 57, verse 1, the righteous perisheth, no man taketh it to heart, layeth it to heart, and the merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from before the evil. He entereth into peace, they rest in their beds, each one walketh in his uprightness. Now that was just a few, that's a remnant. But I'll go on, verse 3. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the harlot. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom do ye make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rocks? Well, it was a hopeless condition where all natural affection was out the window in pretense of serving these gods to offer their what's supposed to be their best, their own children, and slaying them. They were passing through the fire, those kind of things. And then we get to chapter 59, verse 16. And he, that is God, saw that there was no man. And he wondered that there was no intercessor. No man. Well, that was what John saw when he was in heaven there before the throne, is asked who is worthy or able to open the book and loose the seven seals. He wept. There was just no man. No man available that could take care of the issue here. And it was the condition of the people of God and mankind and the earth itself. And but it was revealed in that scene that only the Lamb was worthy and able to take care of this thing. With that, I'll turn to chapter 60. I'm leaving out quite a bit, of course. But speaking of Jerusalem and children, verse chapter 60, verse 14. And the children of them that are afflicted, they shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of Jehovah and Zion of the Holy One in Israel. Instead of being forsaken and hated so that no one went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy from generation to generation. And thou shalt suck the milk of the nations, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, Jehovah, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So this begins an explanation how such a wretched state now is become an eternal excellency. Isn't that something? So we'll read on. Verse 17, for bronze will I bring gold, for iron will I bring silver, for wood bronze, and stones iron, and I will make thine officers peace, and thy rulers righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting not, nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but Jehovah shall be thine everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Well, that's in reference to the Sun of Righteousness, isn't it? That Malachi refers to in the last chapter of the Old Testament. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for Jehovah shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of mourning shall be ended. Now, this verse is especially what I wanted to attend to. Thy people also shall be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Here, the branch of my planting is the people, the redeemed people, the eternal excellency, what he is going to make of them. I should turn back to chapter 59, verse 19, and continue with starting at verse 16 again. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor, and his arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad in his zeal as a cloak. According to deeds will he repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense, and they shall fear the name of Jehovah from the west and from the rising of the sun his glory. When the adversary shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of Jehovah will lift up a banner against him, and the Redeemer will come to Zion. Unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Jehovah. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Jehovah, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith Jehovah, from henceforth and forever. Again, Christ is the seed, but all those that put their trust in him are his seed as well, and the seed of Abraham, another way to put it. And so the branch is going to be fruitful, as it says in chapter 11. And I could read on here back in chapter 60. I'll read verse 21 again. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. So he is glorified by his work. And it reminds me, In the Hebrew, the word work is usually the word for to make. It comes from the word to make. This is the fruit of their maker. And in other places, sometimes that Hebrew word is translated in Greek, the poema. Poema, that's the word we have in Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus, for we are his workmanship or makemanship, literally, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so here's the same fruit from our maker. He he that came out of Nazareth is our righteousness. He's our maker. But he has fruit for his glory. And we read in Ephesians 3, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that unto him be glory throughout all generations of the age of ages. That is, in the church. Unto him be glory in the church. Now, I read these wonderful things concerning Israel, but they don't have the nearness to the Lord. The branch, as we do, the church, which his body is his body. Now, Israel was unfaithful, but he abides faithful to Israel. He was the arm of Jehovah to make good all his promises to Israel. And as well to us too. He's the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God, the faithful and true witness. I just want to go a little further. Verse 22, the little one shall become a thousand, and the smallest a mighty nation. I, Jehovah, will hasten it in its time. The Spirit of the Lord, Jehovah, is upon me. Because Jehovah hath anointed me to announce glad tidings unto the meek, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah, and the day of vengeance of our God. This is what Israel is depending on. The day of the vengeance of our God. When he comes riding on a white horse, he's going to be executing judgment on his people's enemies for his own name's sake. They were hamstrung. They couldn't do anything about it. The beast had overcome them, you might say. Most of them were slain by him. But still, he was going to execute judgment, and then those that died in their faithfulness to him, he raised from the dead. They were no losers. The day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, that beauty should be given unto them instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. This word joy is the same joy that was used the first time in connection with Esther and their victory over Haman and their enemies. So it'd be the oil of joy, the same joy that the Lord Jesus has. He's anointed with the oil of gladness. It's the same word coming from Psalm 45. All his enemies are going to be made a footstool for his feet by the Father's glory. Now, oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the terebinths or oaks of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. Well, they were the branch, corporately, the branch for his glory, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. So that concludes my thoughts about the Netzer branch, but our thoughts about the branch are a little incomplete without considering the other word, which is really, in essence, sprout, what grows up from the ground. And again, I think that more refers to him as Son of Man. At least that's the picture I see. The first reference, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. In that day, in the Darby translation, it translates it literally here. In that day, there shall be a sprout of Jehovah for beauty and glory, and the fruit of the earth for excellency and for ornament for those that are escaped of Israel. Well, this Son of Man's, he grew up among them. He was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. And as such, he should be called Son of God. It shall come to pass that he who remaineth in Zion and he that is left in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and have scoured out the blood of Jerusalem from its midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. And Jehovah will create over every dwelling place of Mount Zion, over its convocations, a cloud by day, and a smoke and a brightness and a flame of fire by night. For over all the glory shall be for a covering, and there shall be a booth for a shade by day from the heat, from the shelter, and a cover from storm and from rain. This word booth relates to the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, it's a hint that he's going to bring in the millennial reign, this sprout of Jehovah, for beauty and glory, you know, beauty for ashes. It closely links with Netzer, and so our English does that. It calls both of them, refers to both of them as a branch. Now let's turn again to, it's Jeremiah 23. Well, I'll just read again of the conditions of the people of God, especially the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Jehovah. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Jehovah, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them. I will bring them again to their pastures, and they shall be fruitful and shall multiply. And I will raise up shepherds over them who shall feed them, that they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, saith Jehovah. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, when they will raise unto David, when I will raise unto David a righteous branch, or a righteous sprout, who shall reign as king, and act wisely, and shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, Jehovah our righteousness. He's a great deliverer. He's a great gatherer, too. Verse 7, therefore, behold, days are coming, saith Jehovah, that they shall no more say, as Jehovah liveth that brought the Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as Jehovah liveth, who brought up and who led back the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Well, we'll go on to another verse in Jeremiah 33. Read verse 15 to start with. In those days and in that time, I will cause a branch, a sprout of righteousness, to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. The word branch and the word grow up are one's a verb and one's the noun. The branch, and he grew up, grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safely. This is the name wherewith she shall be called, Jehovah, our righteousness. For thus saith Jehovah, there shall never fail to David a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall there fail to the priests, the Levites, a man before me to offer up burnt offerings and to burn oblations and do sacrifice continually. So there we have him as the branch of righteousness. And it's hard to distinguish between the two words for branch. You know, it all centers around Christ and what he will do for his people. And if I were a little more spiritually taught perceptive, I might really distinguish the difference between them. But evidently, the translators found that hard too. So they just used the branch. Zechariah 3:9. Chapter 3, verse 8. Hear now, Joshua, the high priest. This is in the days of Zechariah and Zerubbabel when they were having a tough time building the temple. Hear now, Joshua, the high priest at that time, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men of portent. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith Jehovah of hosts, and will remove the iniquity of this land in one day. Isn't that marvelous? And in that day, saith Jehovah of hosts, they shall invite every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Here was stone, the building material of the temple, and there were seven eyes overseeing this temple project. And it begins with, I believe, the cornerstone. Christ, the cornerstone of the temple. But here was a literal stone before Zerubbabel, foundation stone. Now, what about these seven eyes? I'll go to chapter 4. We get the vision of the golden candlestick. And so in reference to getting this temple built in difficult times, in reference to the candlestick, he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of Jehovah unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor my power, but by my spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? This is the great mountain of opposition. I think of it as Babylon. What had taken captive God's people in the old times of the Gentiles. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before this was the kind of spiritual opposition that Zerubbabel had in building the temple. But the Spirit of the Lord would take care of this. To encourage them in this building, starting at verse 8, and the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, "This hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall finish it. Thou shalt know that Jehovah of hosts has sent me unto you. And who hath despised the day of small things? Yea, they shall rejoice, even those seven." Apparently, those seven eyes overseeing the building project. And I think of those seven eyes as the seven spirits of God in connection with Christ as the branch, the Netzer branch. That in Book of Revelation, it refers to the Lamb's seven eyes, the Lamb's seven eyes as the spirits, seven spirits of Jehovah. So there seems to be a connection all the way through. And then the last verse, chapter 6:9, and not 6:9, but 6:12. And speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, Behold, a man whose name is the branch or sprout, and he shall grow up again. The branch grows up from his own place, and he shall build the temple of Jehovah. Even he shall build the temple of Jehovah, and he shall bear the glory. And shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both, and shall be between them both. So here is a hint about the Melchizedek priesthood by the means of one who is called King of Righteousness and King of Peace. Peace will be between the priesthood and the kingdom, and again, he shall build the Lord's house. We have these things to enjoy for our own portion of what Christ is building as to his church.
Branch is a result of the stock, you think. But not always, is it? Sometimes they are grafted in, but the branch is usually the result of the character of the stock. Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose, in a sense, it's a hint about him being the root and the offspring of David. You know,
Yeah.
he's the son of God.
I was wondering if you could comment on the fruitful bough that sprung over the wall. That's in Genesis.
Yeah,
Is that a
49.
branch or is that something different?
It's about Joseph. It's a blessing connection with Joseph, but I think it's a hint about Christ. I can't doubt that. Spring over the wall. Well, you know, since the Jews rejected Christ, then God's grace was not going to be frustrated. He would go to the Gentiles and build his church. In order that Israel come into blessing. You know, we obtain mercy because we're lost sinners, but when Israel and Judah and Jerusalem come into blessing, it'll be that same mercy, our mercy, and the same mercy and grace. You know, we're just creatures. And sin has taken us down. But that's just off the top of my head thought, Brother Dave.
I was wondering if that word was the same as the branches that you were talking about, or is that a different word there?
That I haven't looked at that. Maybe somebody else can help with that. Go ahead.
It's literally sun.
Oh yes, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah. I'd like to get that bow with the genealogy Matthew's gospel, where the his genealogy includes were not from Israel. The root had sprung out from underneath the wall. It's no surprise that the bow would spring out over the wall as well.
And Tamar, these kind of things. Rahab. Yeah. Yeah.
When I think of a branch, I think of something new and vibrant and full of life and something that's going to be a potential fruit bearing and whatever. It's the beginning of those things that lies ahead.
I think you can see how it all connects, because even when you look at what you were referring to, Dave, and the bough is a son, and the branch can also refer to now an ancestor who's coming along. I mean, we use that, right? Have you written down your family tree and how it branches out? I mean, and then it actually is used that way too in scripture. And we see that, you know, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the branch. He's the one who came from that. And like you said, Keith, he's also the root, you know, he's the one that it comes from. And yet you see that he's God, but he became a man. Is he fruitful? Yeah. Read John. Without me, you can do nothing. You know, we bear fruit because we abide in him. So everything fits. Everything fits, no matter which way you take the interpretation of the word.
Yeah.
Ask if some others have some comments. Eldon, do you have something for us? No? Wanted to give you an opportunity. David Hammond? No? Daniel?
As you're talking, I was just kind of thinking about, because it says a branch guy will come from the root of Jesse. And I was thinking about all the kings and how it was David and he built something. And then Solomon took what he had, he built something more and whatever. And then Rehoboam. But each time it was saying that he didn't follow the Lord with all his heart like David did. And so it finally got to the end of that line of kings, and there was really nothing there for the Lord. And you could almost think that when the Lord came, he had to spring out of the root of Jesse, because everything that had been built was not for God's glory. But he was able in it. Because he was a son of David, he was a king, but it was a completely new kingdom. It was not anything that had been built by man that had failed.
Is there some significance that it was Jesse?
What was your comment, Don?
I was wondering if there was a significance that it was a root out of Jesse.
Mr. Darby just has a note here on that, that the name Jesse means Jah exists.
Oh, yes.
It comes from the self-existing one. Can we put it that way? I am. And the first time Jah is mentioned, I think, is in connection with the deliverance of Israel from the Egyptians in the Red Sea when they sang that song. Jehovah is a warrior, and anyway, they were celebrating Jah there. So I think of that. and he gets the victory over sin and all its consequences in our behalf.
Before I forget, too, you mentioned King of Righteousness and King of Peace, and of course that brings Melchizedek, right? And we know Christ is the fulfillment of that. So, anyways.
Well, thank you, Keith. I appreciate that your voice held out long enough for us here.
Well, I'm glad it did. It didn't have any problem at all. But before supper, I could hardly say a sentence, without coughing.
I appreciate everyone coming along, and Keith, we'll let you decide how you'd like to bring it to a close.
Our God and our Father, we thank you that at any time in our lives, we can look up and acknowledge that He is on a throne right now in our behalf.
Yes.
And sometimes we have all kinds of conditions that seem to obscure that. We think of Joe and his struggle physically, and we pray for him that you would sustain him through it and give him to be for your praise. We think of Tom Clement, who now is, so we hear, is going to be very dependent on others now that he's had a physical fall in his condition. We thank you that he continues to be full of enjoyment of Christ in it all. We thank you. We have a glorious end because of our Savior, the branch. We thank you that he's ours as well. And he is the Son of God. Has reached over the wall of Judaism out to us. And all along the way, and even in the line of flesh of the Lord, we find you reaching over the wall to save and deliver. And though he is marked all along the way as our route and the one who has been fruitful, abounding in fruit. The corn of wheat has fallen into the ground and died, that it may bear much fruit. We pray for Edna, that, and we thank you for Don's the success of Don's operation, and we pray for his other eye as well. So we pray and we thank you. We thank you for this country we're in. We pray that we may really shine as lights, that we may really be salt of the earth in all our relationships here, that unto the Lord be the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.